next guest is Pat Quigley. We'll tell you why Pat Quigley is talking to us in a minute. That's taken place round the corner from Cleary somewhere near O'Connell Street.
Yeah, it's where he lived in the 1840s. It's at 6 o'clock on Sunday the 29th.
29th, okay. And Pat Quigley will also be speaking at the festival. Pat is the author of a biography of Kazimierz Markiewicz, the Polish artist, playwright, theatre director, but fated to be best known in this country as the husband of Constance Markiewicz. There's no way around that. You're very, very welcome indeed, Pat.
Thanks, Miles.
Let's talk about his early life. When was he born? Where was he born?
Well, he was born in Ukraine in, I can't remember now the year,
1874, I think.
74, yeah. He was 6 years younger than Constance, yeah.
And at the time that he was born, Poland didn't exist, so he wasn't a Polish count as such, was he?
Well, the Poles maintained their sense of identity through the language and through their culture. So there was very much a sense of being part of Poland, even though he lived in the Russian Empire. But as you say, Poland was divided between the three main empires on the continent at the time.
And he was from an aristocratic family?
Oh, he was.
Tell me a little bit about that family.
Well, they could trace their roots back to the Middle Ages to a Dane called Dunan, who came to Poland and he became the king's right-hand man. So, of course, there was all different branches down through the years, and the Markiewicz section that Kazimierz came from actually came from Lithuania. And they moved throughout that whole Eastern European area, the Kresy, the borderland. But Kazimierz's father settled in a place called Shivotufka in Ukraine in the 19th century, and that's where Kazimierz was born near there.
Was the family wealthy?
Well, they were reasonably wealthy. They had a fair amount of land, and they bought and sold bred horses. But they wouldn't have been fantastically wealthy, but they were well off.
I mean, wealthy enough to give him an allowance, put it that way, for that he was when he was in Paris, when he met Constance in Paris, he was being paid an allowance. Tell us about why he ended up and how he ended up in Paris.
Well, he was meant to study law because he was the second son and he wouldn't inherit, so he had to make his own way in the world. And you would have your fees paid and the use of a servant until you graduated, and then you were on your own. But he hated the law. He would try and learn all these statutes from the Middle Ages, and he would have forgotten it by the time he... he said the law wasn't for him, and he persuaded his parents to let him go to Paris and study art.
It was there that he met Constance?
Yeah. But he was there for about 7 years before he met Constance. He was there from the early 1890s, and they met in 1899.
And he had been married before he met her?
He had.
Tell us about Jadwiga. That relationship.
Well, it was a teenage romance. Jadwiga Nieman, she came from an estate sort of within reasonable distance from his own. And they became lovers, and they both made their separate ways to Paris, where they married and lived together. But the marriage wasn't really a success, and it was really on the rocks by the time he met Constance.
So she had returned to Ukraine, I think, at that stage, hadn't she?
Yeah. She was pregnant with the second child, and she died as well. The child died at that time too.
And when Constance and Kazimierz fell in love and got married, or before that, I suppose, what about the Gore Booth family? How did they react to the possibility of her marrying this somewhat dubious individual?
Well, not very well initially. Because they sent the Russian Secret Service to investigate him. And you see, she wrote back to them from Paris and said, I found the man of my dreams, but there's a few obstacles. He's 6 years younger than me, but we're deeply in love, so that doesn't matter. And he's the second son and won't inherit, but that doesn't matter. And he's trained to be an artist, and we hope he makes some money someday, but he's really the life and soul of the party, and you love him anyway. And, oh, by the way, he's a Roman Catholic too. So.
Aside from all of that, but was he actually a count? I mean, this is always the great controversy about Kazimierz Markiewicz.
Well, you see, this is the thing, that when she listed all these items, she had to give them something, so at least she could say, well, he's a nobleman, he's a count. And the problem is that his son didn't call himself a count, or his father wasn't classified as a count, but Kazimierz was part of the Szlachta, the Polish nobility. And as Hannah mentioned about Shredsky, that he was an impoverished nobleman. So you could be fantastically rich or you could be very poor and still be noble. But Szlachta meant nothing outside of Poland, so sometimes the Polish nobility would be awarded titles like count or baron.
But she certainly called herself countess.
Well, up until the wedding, really, the main thing was to persuade the family that they would accept him and that he was of an equal status. But she didn't call herself countess after that anymore. She preferred the term madam.
She kind of played it down because of her revolutionary connections.
Well, even before that, she just signed herself as madam anyway. It's really up to the wedding, that stage in her life.
Now, they did, you're giving a talk as part of the festival, which is entitled Kazimierz and Constance Markiewicz, Artists in Poland and Ukraine. So they did actually both spend time in Poland and Ukraine, but not that long.
Well, they spent two summers there in 1902, 1903, about 3 months each year. And it made quite an impact on Constance, and I believe she really became politicised from that time on. And we have some of her paintings from that time. They depict the harsh life of the working people in the fields. And there's her first political gesture that you might say when she leans out of the railway carriage and calls out Russian pig to a policeman that's abusing a peasant. So I believe Kazimierz had a big influence on her and the whole sort of Polish connection as well, because the family told her stories about the various uprisings against the Russians. And before that, she thought of herself really as an Englishwoman. Irish identity didn't exist. But after that, she becomes much more aware of who she is, and she's on her way, really, to identifying with the Irish cause.
Okay, so he did have a huge influence. When they moved, or when they lived in Dublin, they moved in artistic circles, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They helped to found the arts club. Kazimierz set up his own theatre company, and, of course, the both of them painted.
And the theatre company was the Independent Dramatic Company. He wrote the plays, she acted in the plays.
Yeah. But they had a company around them as well, people like Helena Maloney and Sean Connolly, who both became prominent in the Republican movement as well. And of course, there was loads of theatre companies in Dublin at that time anyway, so it was fairly easy to get people to act in plays. But
and where did the money come from? How did they live?
Well, she had an allowance from Lisadell. And Kazimierz used to go then to Ukraine every summer as well, where he would paint pictures, and believe that his mother used to subsidise him as well a bit. And so that was basically
how they got along.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. When did they then go their separate ways? I think it was just before the First World War.
Well, they lived in Dublin for 10 years, from 1903 to 1913. And for the most of that time, they had a ball, and Kazimierz was the life and soul of every party. But then things became more serious in 1913, obviously, with the lockout, and Constance was very much identified with Larkin and Connolly. And even up to the end, though, Kazimierz defended her when the Gaiety Theatre refused to put on a play if she was going to be in it. Kazimierz withdrew from his part in it as well. And the only thing is that he found it impossible to get commissions at that stage, because the Markiewicz name was, it was non grata.
They had a child together in 1901. Now, it has to be said about Constance Markiewicz that she has a reputation for not having been the greatest mother in the world. And, was he any better as a father?
Well, not really. No, he was bohemian. So that if you're bohemian, you tend to be out of the house a lot. And in those times, the children had to be left to the servants to look after. And the arrangement they made was that Constance's mother was living alone in Sligo, in Ardeevan. She'd moved out of Lissadell when Sir Jocelyn got married. So it was agreed that Maeve would live with her. So in a way, it was an arrangement that suited all sides, but it's been often drawn up against Constance then that she abandoned her child, which she didn't.
Well, I mean, it was 50-50. I mean, obviously, as you say, he didn't have much of an impact on Maeve either. So, it cuts both ways, I suppose. He fought in the First World War.
Yeah, he did. He joined up. Well, he was in the Russian reserve anyway, as part of his upbringing in Russia. And so, according to the system, you had to go back once war was declared. All reservists had to report back. And he was seriously wounded in the fighting on the Eastern Front. And thence he was sent back home. Of course, the story he used to tell was that the High Command decided to send him home because he was killing too many enemy soldiers and they were afraid the war might end too soon.
Right, okay, rather fanciful. And there, I mean, their letters were exchanged between the two of them around this time. They had essentially gone their separate ways, but they still communicated.
Yeah, they did. And when Constance was in prison after 1916 Rising, he did his best to make contact with her, and he thought after the Russian Revolution he could maybe use some influence with the Russian government to get her out of prison at one stage. So he was very interested in her and in Ireland right up to the end of his life. So even though they lived apart, there was still that connection.
He did come back, though, didn't he? Come back to Ireland.
He came back in 1924. And some say that he came back to look for a divorce. But when he saw that she was so delighted to see him again, he hadn't got the heart to go through with it. Others say he came back to collect paintings that he had left behind in a rush in 1913. But the main thing is that they got on very well together in the time that he did come back.
And she died in 1927, so
yeah,
she was relatively
right.
young.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, he wasn't long for this world thereafter, because he died in 1932, wasn't
That's it? Right, yeah.
And he was pretty young as well.
Yeah.
He was only in his 50s.
Well, I suppose it was all the decades of the hard living and, of course, the wartime wounds as well that all took its toll. And
your next book is actually about her. And I think it's more to do with her relationship with her sister, Eva Gorbuth, a very interesting relationship and a very interesting correspondence between the two of them.
Yeah, it's based on the time after the Rising when Constance was in prison in Aylesbury in England. And up to that time, she'd always been extroverted in the middle of all the sort of activity that was going on, organising meetings, propagandising, all of that. But when she was in prison, she was thrown back on her own resources and she became more creative, writing poetry and drawing pictures. And Eva encouraged her very much in this, and we have some of the correspondence between them. And so it's fascinating, really, just the sort of creative side of a political personality like that.
But in the immediate future, your focus is on Kazimir. You've written a book on the subject, The Polish Irishman, The Life and Times of Kazimir Markiewicz, which is published by the Liffey Press. And as part of the 2015 Polska Era Festival, Pat Quigley is going to be giving a lecture this Wednesday at the Crawford Art Gallery in Cork, entitled Kazimir and Constance Markiewicz, Artists in Poland and Ukraine. He's also going to be conducting a walking tour of Dublin this Saturday, the 28th of March. All about the city is Constance and Kazimir would have known it. Details on our website. Pat, thank you very, very much indeed for joining us. And this is, Kazimir and Constance and the Dublin they knew, 28th of March.